Hi, this is Lauren Jubilier on a very, very beautiful day in January, January 18th. I just took a walk. It's 70 degrees and Carolina blue skies. It's hard to believe on a beautiful day like today that we're going to wake up in a few days to the reality that we're going to wake up to in terms of the passing of the baton from Barack Obama to Donald Trump. Well, what I am intending to do today is to share with you, to the best of my ability and as clearly and concisely as I can, an overview of the astrological cycles for 2017. And if you were hoping that 2017 would be sort of a more relaxing year than 2016 was, I'm sorry to tell you that the intensity of the frequencies are speeding up, and the intensity of change is speeding up. And however, we're getting used to it, we're getting adjusted, and many people are moving into more alignment with what is being asked of them. And one of the cycles that's happening throughout this year is a cycle between the planets Chiron and Saturn. So Chiron represents the wounded healer. Chiron makes sure that our wounds get triggered, like peeling away layers of an onion. And Saturn shows us where our challenges are, where we're not aligned with our purpose, or where we need to work. And Saturn will challenge us to make the changes we need to make in order to align more deeply with purpose, or to hold something steady and build it if it's already in motion. Saturn is a lot like a very strong kick in the butt. So we've got this Chiron process, this antidote to perfection, because Chiron shows us where we really are. And it's a reality check. Saturn and Chiron is a deep reality check for where are we wounded and how is it showing up in our world. And with Chiron in Pisces, where we're wounded is, Chiron is showing us in our inability to really live as if we are all connected. And the opportunity for healing is to really acknowledge, understand, digest, absorb, and then take this into our lives in a way that has practical application. That's what Chiron and Saturn are about together. Chiron often will ask us, what is the next moment that we need to open to? And it isn't usually the moment that we ordered from the cosmic waiter. Usually it's the moment of where our heart is broken. It's the moment of where there may be physical wounding, there may be emotional wounding. And with also Chiron and Pisces, we see the wounding of the water element. Pisces is all about water. So our awareness, as this has been going on over the past 4 years, Chiron's 3 years and one more year to go, Chiron's been in Pisces. The awareness that the waters of our planet are profoundly wounded and needing healing is becoming more and more in the cultures, gestalt in the culture, the zeitgeist of the culture. And it is growing. And that is good. It is also Chiron in Pisces also shows us the illusion or the wounding of our myth that we are separate from one another, that we are separate from the earth. You know, when we cut down trees, we are cutting down the lungs of the earth, and therefore our lungs are impacted. When we pollute the waters of the earth, our waters become impacted. When we heal any aspect of our psyche or our body, we also can't help but do a piece of healing for the whole world. And so Saturn and Chiron squaring in this manner throughout the year is a reality check. Where are we now collectively? And if this is happening in your own chart, it's where are you physically? in your own life. Where is healing needed? And as I said, Saturn writes the reality checks and says, you got to do this work. It's time. Otherwise, you're going to feel like this. And sometimes the work that we embark on in terms of our healing doesn't always end us up where we want to be. Sometimes our death is our healing. And it isn't what we wished for in that moment, but it's what we got. And we can turn that moment into a profound healing or a diagnosis of a serious illness that, you know, takes us in a really deep journey into holding compassion for where we are most fractured. That is the intention of this cycle, is how do we hold compassion for ourselves and for others that we are where we are in the current reality in the world. It is what it is. And it requires surrender, compassion, kindness towards ourselves and one another, and to embrace our fracture points, to embrace our most broken places as our path towards healing and wholeness. And to embrace the wounded world as part of our path towards our collective wholeness, and to do the grieving that, you know, do the grieving and the raging that needs to work its way through us so that we can come to a place of understanding, something that Martin Luther King Jr. said. There's a quote from him that I saw at a Martin Luther King celebration I went to at the Carolina Friends School, and on a big banner it said, "Love is the only force capable of transforming an enemy into a friend." And that is true with our what we perceive as our external enemies or what we seem to be fighting against. And it is also true about what we consider to be the enemies within ourselves, the parts of ourselves that we most dislike, require love. And in order to soften, in the Chiron cycle, our deepest wounds become transformed into the medicine that we carry. And again, that's what the challenge for us is this year collectively, is to acknowledge and feel the Earth's pain and our culture's pain, whether it's race relations, class relations, relationships between the genders, our relationship to the planet, our relationship to our own body or to our own mortality or to our own humanness, and to find a deeper relationship so that we can move into the next phase, peeling and peeling the layers of the onion. This can support our service in a profound way by awakening our inner healer. Chiron activates the inner healer, the inner shaman, and as well as bringing up our wounds, and supports us in finding solutions, healings, and in bringing up into our felt sense this feeling of compassion and forgiveness. If you are already doing your inner work, this can be a tremendously healing time. If you are resisting what you are seeing, you may yourself, or you may see in the culture a lot of blaming and people expressing a lot of victimization and becoming wounding to others. That is the shadow of how this cycle expresses, and we're certainly seeing that. But we are also seeing people really stepping into asking the questions, do I need to release something to move into action? How can I make more space for healing in my own life and in the life of my community and in my world? How can I call in my higher self to ask my divine higher self to live me, to think my thoughts, to assist me in feeling my feelings, and to assist me in coming to the most profound awakening and healing that I possibly can come to, something that is in the benefit of myself and for all beings and for the planetary logos. That is the type of attitude that will really help you this year. How can I be of greater service to the world? What actions can I take, both inward and outward? And how can we keep our hearts open while we see so much suffering and so much acting out of pain on one another and in the world? So that is what I would like you to know about Chiron. I feel very personally connected to this planetary healer because in my own life, I have Chiron as part of my purpose. Chiron is conjunct my ascendant, and all aspects of my current life intent are entwined with this. And I have known throughout my life that every time I heal something in myself, it further develops me as a healer. And I also know that there have been excruciating moments in my life where I have had to simply live with a deep wound that couldn't be healed physically and open to the gifts that it brought me year after year after year. Many of you know who know me know that when I was 23 years old, I lost vision in my left eye. And I was I didn't know anything about the concept of can't do. Everything for me was can do. I was a multitasker. I was a type A. I was on my way to perhaps being a lawyer. And when I was 23 years old, I suddenly lost my vision in my left eye. I was written up in medical textbooks because it was a great mystery. The doctors did not understand it. There were many aspects of my eye that were wounded. And I lived with this. I had several surgeries, and actually the surgeries kept making it worse. So it wasn't a wound that I could physically heal, but it was a wound that took me on a healing journey unlike any other I have ever been on. And in fact, it's what led me to become a healer. And it's led me to so many things, and it assisted me in changing who I am and how I relate to my life. Because I had to slow down, and the right hemisphere of my brain became much, much more active, and the left hemisphere of my brain, the rational side, became less active. And I became, you know, my inner vision opened, and my walking in the world became very different. And that is a perhaps an example of a chironic wound, that fixing the problem isn't always the deepest healing. Although there are times that fixing the problem, you know, finding the right medicine, you know, works, whether it is psychological medicine or physical, herbal, or even Western medicine, any of those, that is the domain of Chiron. Chiron as a planet was discovered in the 1970s, right around the time that the holistic health movement was really expanding. So again, throughout the year of 2017, Saturn and Chiron are in this dynamic dialogue where Saturn is saying, get it together and do this healing work. I'm going to show you all the places this needs to be done. I'm going to give you a reality check for where you really are and get it going. And sometimes as Saturn, I will show you the obstacles, the boundaries, the limitations, the places that you can't move right now, where you just have to be with this wound. But there are also many opportunities for incredible transformation, changing, healing, and for people to own their capability of healing themselves and the earth in creative and new ways, many creative and new ways. I love the book Medicine for the Earth by Sandra Ingerman. It's just one very interesting and creative way to heal the earth and ourselves at the same time. So the next piece that I want to share with you is that the Pluto-Uranus square that you have been hearing me talk about for the past couple years is being further activated by many, many planets this year, but throughout the year, it is being activated by the planet Jupiter. And what does this do? Jupiter expands what it touches. It makes it bigger. And so if Jupiter is making a very stressful, energetic, bigger, then we feel even more of the waves of unpredictable, quick changes layers of awakening both to our divinity and our possibility, and awakening to, we are on a planet that is in deep doo-doo and we need to do something. And many, many, many people awakening at once to reality. And at the same time, intuitive flashes. When Jupiter is opposite Uranus, which it was December 25th, it will be exact again on March 2nd, and then again on September 27th. But really, this energy is present all year. We get unpredictable, unknowable events of extreme novelty that change our idea about reality. And I just want to remind you that in mid-October, at the full moon, 2 weeks before our election, the full moon was conjunct Uranus, and we got sudden shifts in our reality that we are continuing throughout the year to awaken what is actually being put into place in our government, and also it awakens Uranus revolutionary impulses. It awakens us to, we got to do something. We got to change. The song of Uranus is change, change, change. Radical revolutionary change. The question that you might ask yourself is, what is the next level of awakening that I can align with and surrender to? And how can I open greater to my own spirit so that I can know what it is that is in my highest and in the collective's highest in terms of my actions this year, in particular, because this is a year of action. You are going to see actions all around the globe on all sides of every issue. People in the streets, the empowerment of social movements, the empowerment of social change in all directions. Now, we have the planet Uranus, but we also have the planet Pluto. And Jupiter will be squaring Pluto on March 30th and August 4th. But all throughout February, coming up, Mars is going to be moving into Aries and activating this dynamic as well. So it's almost as if something is activating the Pluto-Uranus square throughout the year. We'll have these waves of activity, these waves of shock, these waves of dismantling, these waves of grief and rage, and then waves of innovative actions and planting seeds for the future Earth that we want to give birth to, and calling up our strength to stand firm in our convictions and, you know, holding boundaries on what we will allow to happen in our world and what we will not. Pluto is a dismantler. Pluto creates conditions that are so overwhelming that we simply must surrender to the feelings that come up and to the dismantling that is happening. And our world is being dismantled. And we are seeing the unraveling that is happening in all of our institutions. And we are seeing it, you know, 24/7 in living color now, and it's really hard to ignore. And it's also getting very near impossible, which is a good thing, for people to pretend that their own individual life is not linked to the life of the greater whole. You know, there are certain times in history where what's happening in the general culture or in the general world is so massively huge that it impacts everyone. And that's a time that we're living in. And what is powerful about such a time is that that's the time that people take action to make changes. If you've heard me speak about this before, Pluto and Uranus, when they are in a dynamic conversation, is when we get revolutionary change. And the American Revolution and the drawing up of the Constitution happened during this time, the French Revolution. Carl Jung was born with this particular signature in his chart. He was born during a time like this, and he brought this energy into the world and revolutionized how we think about the psyche. So those are just a few examples. The 1960s, these dynamics were present, and this time that we're living in is much about dreaming that dream onward, as well as a huge reaction in our culture of what happened and people trying to stop it. And this voice of progressive energy versus plutocrats that want to grab the power. And we are just, you know, this year, it's so activated. You know, you're not going to get away from it. Pluto asks us to go deeper, to bring up the, it brings up the shadow in ourselves and in our culture, and asks us to do the work to transform that which we see that is no longer the true, no longer the place that we want to live from, taking us into deeper and deeper and deeper territory so that we can live our purpose. When you individually are in a Pluto cycle, it is a time to dive really, really deep and to just transform everything that stands in the way of you and your higher purpose. And Pluto will bring it up, will show it to you, and then you get to choose how you respond. Pluto asks us to release everything that is not in alignment with our soul's growth, relationships that are toxic, that are not nourishing. There is a process in Pluto brings up grief, rage, and the need to let go so that our cups can be filled with something greater. Pluto is about empowerment. So as much as we are letting go, we are also allowing and being stripped of what we thought we were collectively. I mean, many people in this country are being stripped of their idea about what was the United States all about? What was this experiment all about? Many people are like, well, thank God other people are seeing what I have seen for decades. But many people are waking up to it for the first time and going, wow, I need to protect democracy because it's not a given. So Pluto, like Chiron, is an underworld initiator that peels and peels and peels our layers until we have something shining brightly that is connected to our soul. It is a stressful time. And it is important to know that during times of intense dismantling and intense awakening at the same time, we need to ask ourselves, sometimes what feeds our soul's growth isn't what feels the best, and it isn't what our minds want to happen. I'm sure that you can all think of times in your life where you were brought to your knees, and in that being brought to your knees, you opened up and asked for support from other people or from your own or from the divine, and something came in that wouldn't have come in, something so beautiful and so profound that wouldn't have come in if you weren't kind of on your knees. I had an experience like this the other day because I'm doing a cleanse, and I started to feel very shaky and ungrounded and not well. I was releasing a lot of toxins, and I had a lot of work to do that day, and I took a walk. And I did a beautiful meditation, and during that meditation, I could not feel the light coming in as I normally do, and I started to cry, and then I just asked for my higher self to inhabit me, to like come in like Genie goes into her bottle, and I just felt this wave of energy come and be in my body that just grounded me, and was able to move throughout my day with ease and grace and strength and connection. And what I'm telling you this because there will be many times this year that you will be brought to your knees and you will need to ask to be held in hands that are greater than your own. And when we ask, spirit can show up in beautiful, surprising, unpredictable, and marvelous ways. If we don't ask, spirit cannot intervene. So, just saying. So, other high points of the year that I want to talk about is the month of March. The month of March is going to be very highly activated. We have several huge astrological processes that are underway at once. Number one, we have the spring equinox that we have every year that amplifies the energies. We also have the planet Venus in the underworld, the feminine. And Venus is a planet that has a very visible cycle, a 584-day visible cycle that really tracks the story of Inanna. And part of the cycle, for 290 days, Venus is a morning star. And for 290 days, Venus is an evening star. And for about 30 to 40 days in that process, you don't see Venus on the world stage at all. Venus is not visible. And we say this is when Venus is in the underworld. And so how it goes is Venus is a morning star for 290 days. Then we don't see Venus. And then Venus reappears in the evening sky for 290 days. And then for about 2 weeks, 10 days to 2 weeks, Venus is off the world stage again. And then we start a new 584-day cycle. And in March, what is happening is that we are at the tail end of a 584-day cycle. Venus is going into the underworld to release her grief, her rage, and to transform so that she can rise back up into the sky as a morning star around March 30th, 31st. Venus rises out of the underworld during the portal of the spring equinox in the planet Aries. Aries is the warrior. She is really here to set the balance right between the masculine and the feminine. She rises from her grieving into action. Aries is the Amazon warrior queen who is driven by her mission and her purpose and committed to worthy causes. She is an enthusiastic and passionate leader and defender of our planet. So what version of the feminine is rising up from the underworld is this warrior Amazon, amazingly powerful, bright energy of the feminine that will be the sort of overlay of the feminine energy for the next 584 days. So it's a very powerful time. Many shamanic cultures track Venus cycles. And if you go to Mexico, you will see this. And Central America, Venus cycles were very powerful, partly because all of this is so visible. And we'll talk more about this in March. But what else is happening in March? Number one, again, Venus is in the underworld from March 18th to 30th, and then rises up at 0 degrees Aries as a morning star. It's also the spring equinox. In the beginning of March, Jupiter's opposite, the radical, revolutionary awakener of Uranus, and at the end of the month, Jupiter is squaring Pluto on March 30th. So we've got this bookend of March 2nd to really March 31st, but really this energy begins in February, and it really goes all the way through mid-April, this wave of expansion, this wave of activism, this wave of aliveness, as well as this continuing, you know, dismantling process that we are working with. Then in August, we have another wave of massive energy. And of course, the solstices and the equinoxes are always times of heightened energy. So in June, around the summer solstice, that will actually activate for a few weeks the energy of radical revolutionary change and transformation. But then in August, we have another major, major event, which is we're going to have a full solar eclipse that will be seen from Oregon to South Carolina, about 4 minutes. For about 4 minutes, the eclipse is going to occur at 28 degrees Leo in the heart of the lion around the star Regulus, which is all about transforming our leadership from being egocentric to service-driven. That is the intent of part of the activation. But as you know, Shadows bring up the shadow, so we're going to see a lot of where this isn't. But the energy to bring it fuller into our world is going to be very powerfully orchestrated by this eclipse. It's really about looking at what needs to be eclipsed in our own egos and also in our leaders. The sun will be covered by the moon fully for about 4 minutes, which means that the day becomes night right in the middle of the day, which is a time that the flowers will close, the stars may come out, and the animals will curl up. This affects our entire neurobiology. So it is a time for a massive reboot for our neurological systems, a time of letting go and reawakening and reimagining. It is a very important time to set intentions and to do some ceremony around letting go and waking back up to the light and that heart of the great lion, that heart of that leadership that leads through love and leads through generosity and leads through service rather than leads through ego. And again, we will talk more about that as we get closer into August. The other major thing that's going to happen this year is that Saturn is going to shift into a new sign in December, into Capricorn, but so that happens way at the end of 2017, and Jupiter will move out of Libra and into Scorpio in the autumn. So, I hope this is somewhat helpful for you to just synapse it, you know, give you a brief little summary. It's all about a year of healing ourselves and coming together to help heal our communities and the planet and taking inspired, committed, courageous action, which is what this Venus awakening time in March is going to be about, and to learn how to love, to work with love as a transformative force, even as we must move through our waves of grief and anger as part of our own healing journey. And it's going to be a busy, active year. Take care of yourselves. Take care of each other. And the other little piece is I want to remind you that the year star is Jupiter in Libra, which is all about rebuilding community, rebuilding relationship, whether it is relationships in your own personal life or moving out into your community. And a really good resource is the Village Repair Project. You can go to that website. Other good resources this year are anyone who's doing shadow work. I have a friend named Shari Rose, and she is a shadow coach. And her phone number is 717-710-4707. And she has this wonderful 10-week process for people to really work with their shadows so that they come out being able to live more of their dreams. And, you know, when we push away what we don't want, we tend to create more of it. So this is a year to be really careful about that because the energy is so alive and so creative. So, and the frequencies are so quick. So if you are pushing away what you don't want in your life, you're probably going to create more of it. It is possibly how we got into the pickle we're in collectively. And so it is important to align your energy to what you really do want. And doing shadow work is a way to do that. I think that Byron Katie, thework.com, is also really helpful for very quick healing, clearing, so that we can be able to move into our centers. And the Village Repair Project is an incredibly innovative way to bring love and beauty into our local communities, to work with one another, to bring about change that will make a huge difference, and it's fun and inspiring as well. So you will be hearing from me throughout this year as we embark on this together, and my intention is just to bring clarity and help you learn, you know, just kind of navigate what waves are we in and how can we consciously participate with this. So thank you. Take care, And it's going to be a wild and amazing ride. Be open to unexpected changes, both that will inspire you and that will, you know, shock and upset you. But also be open to being inspired and empowered beyond what you ever thought you could be, because that's what this is about as well. Okay, over and out.